Hello and welcome to episode 62 of 2P Starts Live. He's Tim.
And he is Ray. And we have a special guest.
Yes, with us today is Richard Aguirre.
Hello.
Hey, Richard.
Richard was the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guest artist for us this week to celebrate our 100th comic.
And, triple wonderfuls, huh?
Yeah. Well, not enough can be said there.
Keep saying wonderful. But your long podcast.
But we will come back to him in a second as we need to prepare for the segment we like to call Rise from Your Grave.
Rise from Your Grave.
Many 2P Start fans tend to lurk behind the shadows, hiding their faces by reading our comics but never leaving a single comment. So when one finds the courage to break free from the shackles of silence, we salute you. And this week it was Sid Garcia who said, "Hi, this is my first comment on the site. I've got to see all the comics in the archive and I only have one thing to say. I admire your work, Ray. It's so clean and beautiful. In other words, you shouldn't be afraid of losing your job at all." So, Sid Garcia, it's nice to have you part of the site. Thanks for coming out of nowhere.
Yes, welcome aboard. Keep commenting.
Yes. And, you know what? We're going to move right to comic talk. This week was the origin story, which I had no part of, and boy, felt great. It was a nice, wonderful week off. Thank you, you two.
No, it didn't feel great because you're glad you had no part in such a horrible thing, right? It was a different kind of feeling great.
Stay out of that debacle.
Yeah.
So when did you guys start working on this thing? Because it seemed like a couple months ago you were like, "Oh, I'm working on something for you."
It was at least a couple months when we were talking about it.
Yeah, I think I'd mentioned to Ray, like, "Oh, I'm gonna figure something out for Comic 100, so don't worry about it." And maybe my plan was to contact you, but I hadn't yet. But yeah, we bounced a different idea back and forth a little bit over a few weeks' time, and you know, every week that went by, I'm like, "Well, now he has one less week to work on it, so we really got to get this going." And
we didn't settle on this idea until like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'd say 2-3 weeks ago, just before Christmas, probably. Yeah, we kind of just bounced ideas back and forth, and I like where we landed with it. And there's a lot of little things in there that were surprising to me, even when I saw the end product. So,
no, just very funny stuff. It's frighteningly accurate at times.
The little Sonic figurines.
Yep.
Flies buzzing around your head.
Yeah.
That part, no.
I like how there's like, I'm playing Dreamcast, but like next to me is a Dreamcast controller on the ground because I have no one else to play with.
Right.
It's just me.
Right.
And I think probably one of my favorite parts, I mean, I have multiple favorite things about this comic for sure, but I just love how I'm hanging my head in shame with my lifeguard shirt. That
image. Yeah,
I'm just ashamed to be me is basically the imagery there.
I love the before and after. I didn't want to be like, I guess, too harsh with. I wasn't trying to say you were like a loser, and then you know whatever.
Oh, it's fine. I mean, that's the joke.
I didn't want to be
well,
too harsh.
Richard eased it down a little bit, I think, because I had a huge contrasts. Like, I think for one of them, I mentioned something. Like in the after one, it was like Ray was like surrounded by like bikini clad babes, like he was, you know.
Oh,
right.
Like the contrast was like huge, and Ray
like crowd surfing on spring break or something.
Yeah, something like that. But I was thinking about, you know, when I met Ray, you know, he was a lifeguard. No, there's nothing wrong with that, but now he's a graphic designer. It's like, look at what my life has brought to Ray, sort of thing. So that was
like I said, frighteningly accurate.
So that was the idea there, but
yeah, like me holding the Nubby Award is a really nice touch.
And the funny thing is, Richard, that was your idea, and probably because I never listened to the podcast, I never thought of putting a Nubby Award in there, but that was a nice touch on that.
Yeah, the detail of Richard is just great, and it's too bad we can't show like the full file, because I mean, it's huge. I mean, right. It's just a really gigantic image where you can really look at everything in detail. So, I was really happy with it. Very, very cool stuff.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah, I.
In all honesty, I spent way more time on this than I should have.
Oh.
I was like, well, I haven't drawn anything in a while, so. Yeah, I might as well just go all out on it.
Yeah, oh, totally, yeah. Oh, I mean, you definitely made up for, the day lateness thing, because I was getting worried because people were like, oh my god, I keep refreshing, I don't see it yet, I can't, this better be awesome, it better be good.
I got worried too. And the thing is, you know, I saw the sketch and I knew the comic was going to be great, but that was, you know, that was just a rough sketch. And
right.
You know, I hadn't heard from Richard in a little while, and I was like, hey, right. How we doing here? Because people are starting to get antsy. And I knew once you said you had it scanned in but needed to color it, it would take a while, but that it was,
right.
You know, you weren't like, oh, I need to start working on it or
something. Yeah, I completely underestimated the amount of time that was going to take.
Yeah, I bet.
That took about, 4 or 5 hours longer than I was expecting it to.
Just to color everything. 10 minutes.
Yeah. You just paint bucketed the whole thing, right? I mean, just boom, 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 we're done. That'd be nice.
Well, it was a godsend that I had at least shaded it by hand before I scanned it in, because if I'd been trying to add the shading in the computer,
ridiculous.
It'd been crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, when we finally got the comic up, I mean, I was just like, oh, this is just great. And people obviously really liked it.
Yeah, I've been surprised how many comments, I guess, just... Because I read your comic, but I never scroll down and read what the comments were. I was amazed at how many people come back consistently and all the things they say.
I'm always amazed at how many people leave comments, really. Because I always think about how many people don't leave comments.
I think about all the sites I visit and how I almost never leave a comment, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I barely leave comments anywhere, except, like, Facebook, you know?
Yeah.
To think about how many people don't leave comments is kind of mind-boggling to me, which is why, you know, rise from the grave, people. Come out. Do it. We know you're... I mean, just... yeah, it's crazy.
I like how you emulated the Ray Bob text bubble style. You kept that in place.
That was actually kind of tough.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when you look at it closely, Ray actually does more little fine touches than you would think on those things.
You know, honestly, I want to get rid of them. They need to change. So that they feel old to me now whenever I use them.
I do agree you could update a little bit.
Yeah,
I like the idea, though, of having them color-coded for character. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
me too. Helps. It's a little out of touch now, just because like Tim wears like black and brown, and his balloons are blue. You know,
that was an interesting thing I was noticing going through, because you know Ray, I knew you in high school, but I'd never actually met Tim.
Right.
So in order to try to draw him, I was looking through his Facebook, and I never actually saw him wearing
a beanie. Yeah,
things similar to what he wears in the comics.
Exactly. Yeah.
I never saw him wear a beanie or.
Right. Yes. Yeah, Tim's cartoon character. I mean, the way you did Tim is much closer, I think, to what he actually looks like.
Well, yeah.
He doesn't normally have giant cartoon eyes, but
I'd say the second panel, the first time you see me, that looks very much like me.
I think you look creepy in that one, personally. I think some of the sketches that you posted, some of those, I'm like, oh, that's dead on Tim.
That's true.
And those were the ones that were drawn directly from photographs.
I mean, these are like creepy. Versions of us. I mean, they're just really creepy to me.
Well, the last one is creepy to me because my cheeks are so puffed out. Richard, I've never been described as bulbous before, but when you said that in the blog post that I put up, I was like, wow, I need to lose some weight, I guess. I shouldn't have got rid of Wii Fit or something, but...
Well, compared to the skeletal lankiness that is Ray, I wanted to sort of have a counterpoint there.
Right, yes.
Well,
you need to be like extra, extra large character.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, after seeing the comic, I was like, you know, is there a way we can squeeze in Richard more often? You know, like have it be me and Richard taken week after week, maybe? I'm thinking, oh, it is 2-piece start, and right. You'd have to make some changes there, and... But,
I honestly wouldn't mind if we did another one of these things would be if you wouldn't mind doing the computer aspect of it. Because honestly, that was what you know, I was sketching the thing out, having a great time. Then once I started scanning it, I was like, oh, this is taking forever.
This sucks.
Yeah.
Well, Richard, maybe for a guest strip sometime, we can have you do a one or two panel, not so extravagant, but one or two panel, really nice detailed work, and then Ray can just color it or something.
It could be an interesting thing.
I mean, with vector objects, coloring it is quite different than in Photoshop.
Right.
In Photoshop, you need to kind of click in colors and do some gradients by hand sort of thing. And I kind of color it as I build it, shape by shape. So it's kind of like as I move along, it's also being colored at once. I don't really go back through and color stuff. It seems like extra work. Because I'm usually like, well, this object's already selected, so I might as well just finish the job and color it right now.
Right. It's a different workflow.
Yeah.
Well, plus your style is more cartoony, so it doesn't need maybe the detail of, you know, the shading detail and color detail that maybe Richard's style would need.
Yeah, but very, very cool stuff. Very happy. So thank you very much, Richard.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I was very happy. Well, for every great comic comes great comments, and this week especially was no different. My comment of the week goes to, how do you pronounce this? Ubuntu Third?
Ubuntu Nerd.
Ah, Ubuntu Nerd. Yeah, see, I don't know this lingo stuff.
Ubuntu is an operating system.
Okay. Well, now that I just went down a few notches for a few people.
You're not nerdy enough anymore.
His comment was, I just noticed that Tim is holding a cane in the part where he asked Ray to sign his petition. Awesome! Ray, you should draw him holding a cane from now on in your comics.
You should just be a pimp from now on.
I saw that on my second sweep through. I'm like, oh my god, Tim's holding a cane. That is awesome. Because that's very much a Richard style. You know, I mean, that's definitely Richard infusing his style into the comic. And I just like the idea of like Richard, or I'm sorry, I like the idea of Tim being, you know, so such a meaningful person that he has a cane. You know, it's like, you will agree to draw my comic and. Good stuff. So I might do that
That actually was something that I don't think came through in the drawing as much as I was intending it. The idea was that
the costume
Tim was like in disguise or something.
Right.
You know, and he whips off the mustache and the dark glasses.
Right, yeah, which I also love.
That might have been a little too vaudeville age humor or something.
That was a surprise to me too, because that wasn't how we had framed it originally, but I definitely like that. And you know, I really like the logo that you attached with the comic. Unfortunately, being comic number 100, Ray spent lots of time putting all 100 or 99 comics.
Yeah, there really are 99 comics in there. Don't bother.
They're all in there.
Just trust me. They're all in there. I went through one. It was great because I got to like, I mean, that was like, not all of our comics are numbered, right? So I just started pulling a comic down next, pull comic next, you know, pasting it in. You know, it takes a while for each one, and I'm like, what number am I on right now? Because they're not numbered earlier on. And I'm like, well, I think I'm at about 50. I'm feeling pretty good about this. I'm like halfway across the image, and it's like a number shows up, and it's like 23. I'm like, crap! Oh, no! It's going to take forever.
Well, that was funny, too, when the logo went up, because that's actually an error on the website. The logos are not supposed to attach to blog posts. And I was posting a comment saying, hey, you know, it's going to be a little longer, so just be patient. But if I post a blog post the same day as the comic, the logo for the comic will appear with the blog post.
Right, so people got an early sneak peek at
They got a the sneak image. Peek at the logo. I was like, darn it. And it said guest strip by Richard Aguirre. So I'm like, okay, now Ray knows who it's by,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
So I was all upset. But then people were like, you know, oh, here's a taste of what's, you know, enormous and wonderful this comic is going to be. So I was
like, I thought it was a celebratory thing of technical difficulties. All right.
Yeah. But, I have a comment of the week as well.
Yeah.
Mine will go to Red Vinny, who was our Rise From Your Grave.
See what happens, Red Vinny? See what happens, people, when you comment for the first time, you start doing wonderful things.
Yep, you get noticed, you know? So here's his comment. OMG, I just got in from school, and although I wanted this comic to be up yesterday, I think that next to Tim's, sorry, it's Two Boy Fanism, Two Be Start Fanboyism, this is the best guest comic yet. So I'll end with a heavy ECG, excellent comic, guys. But it gets 3 out of 5 because Ray doesn't have his Lightspeed shoes, and Tim doesn't have his beanie where he's on TV, when he's on TV, and no nubby elbows. By the way, I have a Brawl single serve. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest. I think it's first of all, it's hilarious. He's like, excellent comic, guys, but it gets 3 out of 5 stars. Yeah. So, 3 out of 5 is like mediocre comic, MCG. But no, that's okay. And then I really appreciated that it next to my guest strip, right, comic 9, it's the best one. So it's pretty, I mean, it's horrible, of course.
It's so bad. When I go back and look, it's like, oh my god, what did we do to people? We're only 9 comics in, and already we throw this at them. No wonder people were getting worried there. Well, Richard, do you have a comment of the week?
Yes, my comment of the week goes from Meta Ridley R27 is actually the comment on your little addendum you put up about how the comic was made.
Yes.
And Meta Ridley wrote, that's really cool. I like that you described how you made the comic step by step. It really shows the amount of effort you put into it. And does Ray really own a Sonic hat like that? I'm just wondering because I saw the Facebook picture, but I would like some kind of an explanation as to where this thing came from and how it got on your head.
Yes, I really do have a Sonic hat. It is currently about 1 foot away from me.
He's petting it right. He's petting it right now.
Crawling across the floor.
That's what he does during the podcast. He's got one hand on the Sonic hat. Excellent.
I received it as a gift from, I believe, my brother. Maybe my parents. One of the two. I think
it's a terrifying looking hat.
I think it was my parents. I think they were somewhere. I forget. But it was like, oh, yeah, this is what all the Sonic fans wear to the conventions or whatever. So they, like, picked one up for me. And I put it on and took a couple pictures. And, like, I don't put it on anymore just to make people feel happier about themselves. But, yeah, it's pretty funny little hat.
Well, and there's that one photo up on Facebook with the hat that's covering your eyes, so it looks like the hat's eyes.
Yes.
That is a terrifying photo.
I'll put that one up on the podcast.
I gotta find that now. I never saw those pictures. I gotta see
it. Of course,
Richard,
yeah, I've seen
that. I just thought you drew it that way, Richard, because you thought it'd be funny to put a hat on a Sonic.
Oh, no, it was a real thing.
I didn't know it was actually real.
Here, I'll say the image, Tim.
Isn't that crazy?
That's pretty creepy. Oh, man.
Like, I would walk around, like, I walked around the house like that for a little bit, just to, like, freak people out.
You need to poke creepy little holes in it so you can go in public like that.
I forget if it... Yeah, it doesn't... Yeah,
see, he's trying it on. He's trying it on now.
Don't tell anyone.
Ray is doing the podcast with the Sonic hat on right now.
I can't see the microphone. Where is it? All right. Well,
we should move on.
It's time for some internet news. Here's a segment where we show off some of the booty we found on the internet.
What? It's not that kind of podcast, Ray.
I need to figure out a way to say, you know, pirate, loot, booty, but, like, looting the internet just takes
maybe
it to
treasures.
A whole other world.
The site just got banned booty from half our listeners.
Blacklisted. This is from ukresistance.co.uk. Apparently, this is a real fax. This, you know, photo proof here. Real fax to Namco. I just gotta read this. Basically, it's it's an internal Sega communications fax. It goes like this. Namco Limited, Consumer Division, recently had a consumer query regarding a cheat for Soul Calibur. Please find the details as follows. This is back in 2000, by the way. This is old. We would just like to bring to your attention a mistake that has been made, and if you should have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact us on the numbers below. Thank you for your time. Yours sincerely, Julia Roach, Office Administrator. Here's the customer query. How do I change the color of the underpants for the female characters in Soul Calibur?
What? So this is internet booty.
Yeah, there you go. Your answer on the hotline. After you have selected your character, Sophie, Mina, press and hold one of the following, while the next, i.e. first, level is loading. A for purplish pink, B for purplish blue, K for black. Problem: on the regular Sega controller, there is no K button to press. The codes for these changes are wrong, and we have worked them out to be this. This is misleading to those who do not have knowledge of the arcade version. It needs to be explained solely for Dreamcast users. I just
wow.
I get it.
It's just hilarious. It's so great.
I can imagine getting that question and just yelling out, "Hey, does anybody know how to change the underwear of female characters?"
And everyone raises their hand. All the guys.
Oh.
Well, it's dark. It's gritty. Things are not looking good for the country. Which only means one thing. The dreaded Black Doom Award is here.
Whoa.
Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the worst character Sonic Team has ever created. Fang the Sniper. I mean, Black Doom.
Well, I've been playing Prince of Persia on the 360. And it's a good game, but, you know, it's a little repetitive, whatever. But I installed it to the hard drive, because you can now do that. And I enjoy doing that because it cuts down the loading time. We don't have to listen to the disk drive, whatever, you know. So I'm playing along, and I'm like halfway through. All of a sudden, it pops up with a window. It says, the disk is not readable. I'm just like walking, okay? So first of all, I'm thinking, well, it's not using the disk, so I don't care if it's not readable. So it says press A to accept or B to cancel.
Accept what?
I press either one, and it reboots the 360.
What?
It doesn't let you save. Accepting. It doesn't let you save your progress. It doesn't let you do anything. So I start doing it again. Same thing happens in a different spot. So I pressed A the first time. I'm like, well, this time I'm going to cancel because I don't want that to happen again. Same thing. Doesn't matter what you push. Basically, here's the problem. I think what's happening is every once in a while they check to make sure the disc is in the drive and that, you know, you're actually playing the game that, you know, because while you're playing the game off the hard drive, they don't want you to, like, steal the game, borrow it from your friend, and not actually own it. So they do checks on the disc, which is fine. But for some reason, it couldn't read the disc quick enough or something like that, and there was some sort of problem. So that's fine. It should say saving progress or save your progress.
I disagree. I don't think it checks the disc. I think it only checks the disc when you first load the game up. And it's probably somehow when it installed it incorrectly. So, you know, the system thinks it's playing it from disk, you know. I mean, why is the Xbox going to care any different? You know, it's just reading data from a source. And so when it hits a part where it doesn't understand, it's like, this cannot be read. Which means you're
trying to reinstall. I wonder if it could be something just as simple as the disk not being clean when it was recorded originally.
Right.
But here's the thing. Brand new game, didn't touch the back, threw it in the first time, installed it. So I looked at it afterwards. It still looks good. So what they need to do, see, now I've lost confidence in the game installation process, because if I don't install the game, I'll never have that problem. Pretty much, I've never had it before. But if I do install the game, there could be a point where I haven't saved my game yet. I've got this X number, you know, of light seeds or whatever I'm working on, and it's just going to die on me. So I think they need to update the installation process to, I don't know, give you a warning or, I don't know, do something, save your progress, because that's kind of an issue.
Well, my Black Doom Award, I'm not sure who to give this to exactly, but I'm going to give it to Q Entertainment for their game Every Extend Extra Extreme, for this reason specifically. One of the achievements is to get 20 wins on Xbox Live. So if you play versus, you know, online, you just have to win 20 times and you get the achievement, right? Sounds pretty simple, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, problem A, no one plays that game online anymore, okay?
What is this game again?
Every Extend Extra Extreme.
What does that mean? Is that
It doesn't mean anything.
I don't think it means
extending
anything.
Things.
They wanted to call it E4, so they had to think of E words to string together, basically.
Yeah, well, I think it came out on PSP originally as Every Extend Extra. And when they made it for the Xbox, then you could play it online, so that was now a fourth mode. So they needed four letters to call it E4. Yeah.
I guess what I'm asking is what is this game?
It was created by the creator of Rez.
Because the title tells me nothing about it. Something where you extend something. You extend things to the extreme, and it's awesome.
It was created by the person who did Rez. This was made after Rez. And basically it's kind of a music rhythm puzzle game, I guess I could say, where you have a ship and enemies are flying around on the screen, and it's much like Geometry Wars, except instead of shooting enemies, you detonate your ship and you try to make that detonation, the explosion, kill as many people in a chain as possible, and then you respawn and you detonate again. So it's musically intertwined as well. It's an okay game.
Is there any extending involved?
Your time, I guess.
Okay.
So
your time waiting in the lobby online.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So like I was looking at a guide, you know, because there's places that you can go to show. Okay, if you need help on achievements, here's the best way to do it. And it's like, oh, good luck getting this one. No one plays online anymore. I'm like, oh, great. So I was able to find someone on a message board who's like, hey, if anyone needs to get that achievement, I'll be ready to play with you. I'm like, all right. So I, you know, got online with this guy, and we're like, okay, let's go for it. We played basically 40 rounds where we were just playing just to see who would win. Basically got to like the 20-20 mark equally, and we didn't get an achievement.
Oh,
we're
no.
Like, okay, I won 20 times. It shows it right there. You won 20 times. Why didn't it work? Oh, because it wasn't a ranked battle, probably. It's like,
what?
If you do a direct connection to a friend, doesn't count. Only if you
go
like
they think you're
on
gonna cheat,
to the
basically.
Servers. Only if you go on to the server specifically, then it'll count. And it's like, that's ridiculous. Now I have to spend another couple hours playing again just to get an achievement of like what, 10 points or something? Like,
Wow.
I mean, it'd be fine. That's okay. You know, if it would just list it in the achievement, you know, information. No,
yeah,
no.
Normally it says
20
that.
Wins,
it's like
Xbox
matches.
Live, like. I'm using Xbox Live to play against this person. Oh, no, it doesn't count. Ridiculous.
Oh, that sucks.
So you played all those matches, and it was just for the fun of it?
Yeah, I mean, we were having fun at least. You
that's
know?
Terrible.
That sucks that you just had to have fun. Oh, man.
I know, exactly. I mean, it was fun, but it was like, oh, well, now we don't want to spend that. Because, you know, after you play 40 matches, it's like, you can only do so much with a puzzle
I'm done
game,
with this.
Okay? Like, now we just want to get to the end as quick as possible. And it's like, well, if you win 18 rounds in a row, though, would you not show up in the ranking system anymore since you'd be too good for me? So maybe we need to switch off every time now, and it's evil. So how about you, Richard? Do you have a Blackout Doom Award for us?
Well, I guess I have one that's kind of old because I haven't been playing, you know, newly released games lately, but I just picked up a copy of Metroid Prime 3 and I've been working my way through that.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
And I mean, it's great overall, but there's one thing. Just there are all these doors that you have to shoot in different ways to open. You'll scan it and it'll say, "Oh, there's a special alloy that it'll only be activated with explosions." Or, "This is it's frozen with a certain kind of compound in it that you need heat to unfreeze it." this door is unbreakable by anything except if it gets a little cold. And, I mean, I see where they're going. They, you know, they want to make more puzzle-like gameplay, but, I mean, you're just shooting a missile versus shooting a ray beam versus shooting a hyper... I mean, in a game where every door you ever walk through, you have to shoot at to open, even, like, on the spaceship that you're invited to go have a conference, you have to shoot the door to go... It doesn't quite seem like a, you know, mysterious puzzle that I have to shoot a rocket at this door to open it now. You know what I mean?
Right. I understand what it's doing. I mean, they basically implement... I mean, that's an old thing. They used to have that in the original games as well, where there are certain areas that you can't go to until you get far enough into the game. And how far you are into the game is shown by what kind of weapons that you have, basically. So it's like, okay, once they have the ice weapon, now they'll have access to these rooms. But I agree, because it starts getting irritating where you have to switch to that gun all the time.
It's like you have the super hyper mode gun that can kill anything, but, oh, you can't make it cold, so you can't bust through this door.
Right, yeah, so it should be like, once you use that special gun, you get rid of some crap on the door, and then it becomes a normal door that you can shoot any time. That would make more sense to me.
But, I mean, there couldn't be any doors that just have knobs on them that you just walk through like a normal person.
It is nice, though, because you can, like, shoot it as you're running towards the door. But sometimes...
Right, or it could just open like a door in a supermarket does when you get close to it.
The reason for that is because it has to load the next area. It's actually a secret loading bar. Which is like, wait, when you shoot the door and it doesn't open right away, you're like, come on, open up, I'm gonna die in here. It's like, well, I'm loading the next area, so cool. You know, it's kind of a nice way of masking that, but you start to run into that issue where it's like, this is just kind of weird now. But I'm kind of half there with you. I think they could fix that up.
Yeah, I guess it just seems a little unrealistic to me when you're like, you know, going around on this high tech spaceship.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't make sense
that you're invited to, but you know, to leave my little medical area, I have to blow the door open with my blaster.
All right. And finally, we'd like to wrap up the show with Musical Misfits. Each week, listeners of 2B Start Live submit their favorite video game songs that have been lost in the shuffle over time, and we play it in full after the show's over for those who are interested. This week, it's a song submitted by Richard Aguirre. Richard, what do you have for us?
We've got music from an old school game called Vectorman back on the Sega Genesis. So this is from the intro when it's showing you little cutscenes, even the storyline of...
Yeah, it's basically the story of Wally, right?
Yeah, it's basically Wally, but he has like a ray gun on his arm like Mega Man.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, after we saw Wally, you kind of commented to me, Richard, it's like, where they leave a robot behind to take, you know, to clean up the Earth while everyone else goes...
Right, exactly.
It's like, that's the... I mean, I already saw this movie. Well, that will do it for this edition of 2P Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic and every Monday for a brand new podcast, just like the one you heard here, except better, and unfortunately without our dear Richard. With that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray. And Richard, it's been fun having you.
Yeah, thanks. It's been great being on.
Yeah, thank you very much. And we will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.